final case of the day is Anderson versus Clark. Anderson versus Clark.
Here.
Yes.
Thank you, Clark. Counsel, my name is Heather Forrest, and I have the privilege of representing Mr. Clark in this matter. This is an appeal from the District Court of Cook County of a domestic abuse prevention order. The facts, this matter arises from an incident which occurred on Father's Day 2019. My client, Mr. Clark, he tried to exercise court order parenting time with his child. He showed up at the appellee's house. There had been prior subsequent arguments between the parties stemming from parenting time. So on Father's Day, my client, Mr. Clark, he shows up at the appellee's residence to pick up his kid.
Was it her residence or her parents'
residence? Well, it was a parent's residence. Forgive me. He was invited into the home by the appellee's father. That is a fact that is not disputed.
And was that testified to?
Yes. Yes. And there's video evidence showing that too.
Well, the video shows him walking in. It doesn't really show anybody answering the door, as I can view it.
The appellee, either the appellee or her mom, conceded in the testimony that the appellee's father had invited, had said he could come to the house. So he comes into the house, says he's there to pick up his kid. The appellee shows up. She tells him to get out. The argument ensues. She pushes him. He pushes out the house. Then she later.
Okay. So what evidence is there that she pushed him?
There was a video evidence which was submitted to them. Mr. Clark, my client, he recorded the whole incident on his phone, and that was offered and submitted.
So, and we reviewed that, the video. It appears that maybe the mother is reaching toward the phone. Is that the action you think that shows her pushing him? Just want to clarify what you.
Yes.
And then back, pushing out of the home?
He was told to leave the
house. Okay.
Later, she filed a protection order, and that's what we're here appealing. We got a show cause. And our argument here is that it was an error for the district court to keep that protection order in place because my client's alleged actions did not meet the criteria required to constitute abuse, as that is defined by Nebraska Statute 42-903. Nebraska's Protection from Domestic Abuse Act allows a victim of domestic abuse, as you know, to obtain a protection order upon a showing of abuse before the court. The case law in the state makes it clear that there must be a finding that a domestic abuse occurred within the meaning of the statutes. Absent a finding of the domestic abuse, the protection order cannot remain in place. Now, the statute that I'm referring to, 42-903, that defines abuse in one of three ways. One, attempting to cause or intentionally, knowingly causing a bodily injury. Two, placing by means of credible threat another person in fear of bodily injury. And three, they engaged in sexual contact without consent. Now, there was anywhere alleged that nobody alleged that Mr. Clark engaged in sexual contact, so we can just cross out the third prong. That doesn't apply.
And the trial court didn't specify whether it was A or B.
That is correct. The trial court did not specify which of the three prongs.
In fact, what was the trial court's stated rationale for?
That he entered the house.
Without permission? Something like that?
They didn't even say, he might have said without permission, but the stated rationale was that he entered the house. Now we're here deciding, is that a credible threat or is that a domestic abuse? And I argue it's neither. And that's why we're appealing the case. With respect to any argument that there was a bodily injury or an attempted cause, I think the video speaks for itself. It's pretty clear that there's not much of any contact, if anything. Ms. Anderson does make the motion at Mr. Clark, as you were referring to earlier.
She stated in her affidavit that she went to a doctor a day or two later, and the doctor noticed some additional bruising or swelling. So that's in her affidavit that's in evidence.
She stated that in an affidavit. She did not submit these records from the alleged doctor's appointment. She did not submit the records, and I would say the video evidence overwhelmingly shows that the incident did not occur as she alleged in her affidavit. And then with respect to whether or not there was a credible threat, now, there were some text messages attached to her complaint for the protection of use. And I think it's clear that the text messages show that these parties have had an ongoing dispute over parenting time. And at one point, yes, my client does use words that include F you, and I'll see you in court.
And something about karma.
Yeah. And
can that be viewed as a threat of harm?
Well, in the context of what he's referring to, the court, you know, the proceedings, there, it is true that she was in an accident, and he did imply that that was maybe karma, but, you know, credible threat is defined as, you know, a verbal written threat, make, you know, a threat of harm, that they're going to harm you, and that they have the ability to harm them, you know. If my client, and maybe that wasn't very kind of him to say that, maybe if he was gloating, you know, ha-ha, you got hit by a car, you know, that's not a threat, you know, that's
just not nice.
It's just, yeah, he's not saying, I'm going to run you down with my car, you know. This case is very remarkably similar to Linda N. versus William N. It's also similar to Crystal C. versus John B., which was published, which was released today. Forgive me, I didn't check if it was selected for publication or not. But, so, I'm sorry about that. I just saw that it was, I just read it this morning. And I would urge this court to follow the same reasoning they did in the Linda N. case and the Crystal C. case. In this case, as in William N., the Linda N. versus William N., there's no evidence of physical threats. You know, he did say that he was going to take her to court, but again, that's not a physical threat. And there was no evidence that any of the parties reasonably feared for their safety. As stated earlier, the court's stated rationale was that he entered the house. And even the appellee admitted on testimony that her own father said he could come in. And I don't think that if that's the rationale, it doesn't fall under any of the three prongs in 42-903. Now, I'm at the 2-minute mark, and I'd like to reserve my remaining 2 minutes for a moment. Do you guys have questions?
No. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Please support. My name is Dave Drew, present on behalf of Terry Anderson, formerly known as Terry Clark, who is the appellee in this matter. This is a violation of a protection order, or a protection order case. There's two elements that counsel may agree with. We're not disputing the domestic partner element of the sexual contact element. This is purely based on, was there domestic abuse, meaning physical injury or a credible threat? Exhibit 1 was the petition affidavit in support of the protection order, in which, in all of Terry Anderson's testimony, I asked him several times to leave, which backed up from the front door, and I walked up the stairs, which then attempted to go down the stairs again. When I started following him, he turned around and grabbed both of my forearms. My left forearm is currently broken, and Rich was aware of this. He squeezed and twisted my arm. Skip to the third paragraph. He bruised my right arm and my left forearm, parentheses broken, swelled up and was really sore. That testimony alone proves that there was a knowing and intentional physical injury.
Stop for a second. Is that something different than what we saw in the video? Is he relaying a different set of circumstances, or It doesn't look like that on video, does it?
It's on the same day, and what I would point out is there's two videos, and there's a break. And what you never know is when and why and how the video stopped, and what happened in between the next video stopped. Carrie Anderson's testimony was, this happened in between. Marilyn Anderson, the mom and grandma, also testified, I don't know how they edited that video. So you have two witnesses to say...
When did she testify that it happened in between those two segments? I don't recall.
She didn't say in between. She's, I believe the words were, I don't know how you edited the video.
The mother did.
Correct.
But what about your client?
She did not testify as to that it would be Marilyn Anderson.
Okay. Misunderstood what you said.
I apologize. So, I acknowledge the video doesn't show the grabbing and twisting of the arms. There is a break, and there's a lack of testimony by everybody as to what happened in between.
If anything did.
If anything did.
Nobody suggested anything happened in between.
Well,
in their testimony.
In their testimony, they didn't pinplace what happened, but I did that statement.
I just want to make sure I have the sequence.
Correct. And then the minor child in this, LC, also said in her statement she heard her mom yell, my arm. So you have three specific instances of testimony where these arm injuries were talked and discussed. Then to me it becomes a credibility issue of either the three witnesses that said one thing, or Mr. Clark, who believed or testified to injury that they were to either not happen. The district court is the one who was present weighing the testimony. It's frankly a pretty choppy transcript, but there's some questions that were answered that weren't, like what happened in between. But Judge Sampson was the one weighing the testimony, watching the conduct of the parties, and based on that, he determined that the injury must have happened or it was a credible threat.
But the stated reason given by the judge was that he entered without permission.
Correct.
What does that have to do with either A or B in the statute?
And number one, I'm not sure. Objection.
Sorry, that was not a good question. But
my guess would be entered the house with permission, and then I think absolutely didn't leave immediately. It would be, I think, more.
But again, how does that become domestic abuse?
And I think there's an
maybe it's harassment. I don't know.
I don't disagree with that. What I would say is that a house is a boundary. When you walk into a house and you're supposed to leave, and it's not your house, you're supposed to leave. That's pretty clear.
How does that equate into physical injury or threat of harm?
I think that falls into the preventing future harm. It's a rule, it's a boundary that Mr. Clark is intentionally violating. He's in a house he shouldn't. He's saying the karma text message that you talked about. When someone enters a house and still believes and doesn't leave, that's a violation of the people in control of the house's rights. And it's a little, it would be cleaner if it was Carrie Anderson's house instead of the parent's house. But Mr. Clark is told to leave, and I guess the assumption is to protect Carrie Anderson, Mr. Clark didn't immediately leave. That's when the argument occurred. So, to me, there's an implied threat of violating a boundary. Is the best I would say on the threat. And frankly, I think for the evidence, I think the strongest reason to affirm Judge Sampson is based on the affidavit and testimony regarding the physical injury to the arms. I saw the threat, and it wasn't as fully developed in the evidence as frankly would like. We get the record we get, and the actual injury is a lot stronger case for the protection order than the threat of injury. So with that, I would ask you to affirm the protection order based on the testimony of Carrie Anderson, LC, the minor child, and Marilyn Anderson, that the arms were grabbed and twisted and swollen and bruised. Is that clearly in the definition of abuse?
But the mother and the daughter didn't testify to the grabbing of the arms, just having overheard Carrie say, my arm.
The minor child said, my arms. The mother's testimony She says, then grab Carrie who has a broken arm. It's the exact testimony. And so she didn't say, I saw. And again, that question wasn't asked. You know, the next three questions are, did you see it? Who told you? How do you know? And those questions weren't asked. So without that objection, I would say the assumption is that she saw it or had personal knowledge. If there's any questions, I would entertain.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Ms. Duman?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. Now, with respect to the alleged arm grabbing incident, it's worth noting that there is no evidence of the injury. As stated earlier, there is no doctor records. There's no photo showing that the arm was bruised or swollen. With respect to her having a broken arm, to specify, the arm was broken before the Father's Day incident.
But if we have, on our home review, we don't weigh the credibility. So if there's evidence from her, by way of affidavit, that this is what happened, are we to, if we disregard that, are we not then weighing the credibility of the witnesses?
I think the video speaks for itself.
But there is a lapse. I mean, that's not one continuous video. We have two separate ones, and we don't really know what happened in between.
If the court accepts that she grabbed his arm, they're still missing the intent element. We have the part of the, when we're left with the bodily injury thing, it has to be an intentionally and knowingly causing a bodily injury. That's what the statute says. Further, you know, this is one incident, an isolated incident. It stems from basically an argument over parenting time. Even if it did arise to the threshold of domestic abuse, the court would still then have to consider remoteness, severity, you know, the nature, frequency, and the nuances of the household relationships. If that alleged arm grabbing incident is what gets us to the threshold. And when you look at that and you weigh that, you know, this is one incident, him allegedly grabbing the arm. No evidence that he intentionally or knowingly was intending to cause a bodily injury. And then we're seeing the party's history of conflicts over parenting time. And my position is if we uphold this protection order, it's a slippery slope that people file protection orders whenever there's an argument about parenting time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case is submitted. Counsel is excused. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And that concludes our panel.